This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. And we have some very interesting guests coming up today. One of our guests is someone we've had on before. His name is Terry Schilling. He runs American Principles Project. And then the other one is Erica Ahern. We had Erica on a long time ago. She's a writer over at the Catholic entity called The Loop. Terry, I asked to come on to talk about the sort of his organization focuses a lot on pro-family policies and the conversation about the future. He's used the phrase that the family needs to be the strongest special interest. And he does a lot to try to promote that. I thought it was a good topic to talk about. There's a lot of other things being talked about. So we'll talk with Terry Schilling, catch up. And then Erica Ahern, she's in the line with what I want to talk about for the wink. You know, as government has grown bigger, you know, massive, it's got money to spend, it's got influence to peddle, to influence to utilize. But as it's gotten bigger and bigger, it's done more and more things. And there are points where we end up with these public-private partnerships where you say to yourself, well, if you're going to have to build a road, would it be better to have a partnership with a private company that knows how to build a road better than the government does? That seems to make sense. Now, that's a good example because I believe that government should build roads. The problem is the government starts to provide a million other services and goods, and sometimes they're partnered with private entities. And another example, classic example of a public-private partnership is Medicaid and Medicare, where you have private entities who are providing something, and really the payer is the government. But there's a lot of overlap in all these different areas. But again, as government's gotten bigger, what you need to know is there's more and more of these moments where the bureaucracies are relying on outside people and they're paying for it. Another one that I've been digging into, which annoys me, is the Select Committee, Liz Cheney's Select Committee on January 6th. They spent $15+ million, and lots of that money with outside groups and outside people, you know, to do research and to do analyses and things. And there's no accountability. And that's the rub, right? When you have a partnership or a relationship or use a vendor outside of government, you can't check their books the same way. Which brings me to the story we're going to talk to in a minute with Erica Ahern, and maybe a related story about the Biden administration in this sense. You remember a year and a half ago, the Biden administration announced that they were going to have a disinformation czar and there was going to be a council. And that got a lot of attention. Jack Posobiec, our friend, made some of the attention, and they pulled back on that. There's still some of that going on. Well, there's also been now identified contracts that were let out to the Atlantic Council and others to become monitors of social media. But again, it would be one thing if they were watching. The question is whether these partnerships are ending up being influencing people. And these are all distasteful. There's a corruption, small c corruption possibility with all of them. When you got money flowing from one entity, I mean, again, the January 6th Select Committee spent $15 million. Do you think the people that are getting paid a couple hundred bucks an hour to a professor over at Georgetown or a liberal lawyer somewhere getting paid $400 or $500 an hour to do research, you think they're going to have a contrarian view than it was the worst thing ever? Of course not. So there's a lot of corruption, small c corruption that way, and it's kind of formalized and institutionalized. But what you need to know is there's an even more troubling trend, and that is outside entities that have a political or ideological axe to grind who become the research arms of the government, but not just for, I don't know, work or, or education policy or even NIH, but for law enforcement. And so the memo that came out in Richmond a few months ago of the Richmond field office targeting the FBI, they're targeting Catholics. They use terms in the documents, and the terms RTC, I think it's a radical traditional Catholic, RTC. And the terms are not derived from the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're taken from it. So the Southern Poverty Law Center creates a list and a list of who are these people radical traditional Catholics passes on the FBI, and the FBI is taking away your liberty based on the Southern Poverty Law's preferences. Do you see the problem yet? You have these nonprofit organizations, so-called, that are actually partisan players. They're not Democrat formally, but they're politically partisan, and they're on a side, and they're ideological, and they're utilizing their influence to get government to limit your rights. Because if you can be surveilled, and if your organization can be infiltrated because the FBI says you're an RTC based on what the Southern Poverty Law Center says, that means the Southern Poverty Law Center is driving the agenda, and they're not accountable. They're not transparent. You don't have a way to tell what they're really up to. What you need to know is, I'm told, I don't know this for sure, but I'm told that there are two lists you can be on. Terrorism watch list and the no-fly list. Those are the only two federal formal lists that exist. I'm not sure that's right. I have to confirm that. But whatever the number is, what if there's other lists that we never know about? And what if there's other lists that we never know about that you can't even find out about? That there's no accountability. There's no supervisory role. It's just the FBI saying the Southern Poverty Law Center, tell us who's bad. Okay, we got it. Good. It's a crazy system. It's a dangerous system. That's more important. It's a dangerous system. And one that not only is ripe for abuse, but it's just wrong. Extra constitutional, unethical, deeply problematic. And you know what? This is just the one we caught. What you need to know is this is the one we caught. FBI leaked memo on Catholics. How many other groups are there? Are you an anti-government? Are you on an anti-government list because you don't like something that's going on? Scary stuff. Scary stuff. All right. We got to take a break. We'll come back. We've got great guests. Ed Martin here on a Pro America Report. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. It's been a while. It's been, I don't know, it's probably been months and months since we last talked to Terry Schilling. Terry Schilling has been out and about in the community. He's the president over at the American Principles Project at Schilling1776 on Twitter. He's got an active Twitter feed. He's been writing and communicating and leading in politics on a lot of issues. But Terry, you came to my mind a couple days ago when Joe Biden announced he was running, and there's lots of conversations about why he's running and should he run and all. You guys had some, I got some language on what you do over at the American Principles Project, talking about how for families and for the American family, you know, Biden's record is pretty abysmal. Give me some of your thoughts, especially. I know you have the big family initiative. I'm a big fan of that, how you've been communicating about our families and the need to have, you know, people will talk about, oh, we got a population project problem. But, you know, you've been saying, hey, here's what big families can mean. Of course, you come from one. But give me your thoughts right now on Biden and where we are.
Well, you know, obviously, big family is a the double entendre. We want people to be having bigger families, more children. That's always a good thing. Yep. But at the same time, we want the family to be the most powerful special interest group, right? You have big pharma, big oil, big tobacco, clowns. I don't know if you know this, but even the clowns have their own special interest group. It's called the National Balloon Society, right?
Yeah, big clowning is a problem. But I thought that was in Congress. But I'm bumped. There's dad humor. There's go. You recognize that? Go ahead.
Keep going. So the thing is, you know, I was on Fox Business yesterday with Elizabeth McDonald, and it was about Randy Weingarten and the teachers union. Yeah. The teachers union, American Federation of Teachers, spends $200 million every single year fighting against parents and our rights to control the education of our children. We need something that can match that, or at least put the fear of God right into these people. Because here's the thing. We have to build this because these people get to just collect the tax dollars and then collect the dues and then pay all of their activist buddies and PR flackies. We have to build a machine, and that's what APP is doing. We want to create a, we want the family to be the most powerful special interest group in this country.
Well, and that's a great way to say that, because I mean, the fact is, I know you're on this side of the aisle with me. I mean, you know, we want more free speech. We want more freedom to advocate for your side. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is, too often, as you say, with the special interests that matters, the family and others get lost. I mean, you're like, oh no, don't lecture me on that. That's way too uptight. We're talking with Terry Schilling. Terry, how does pro-life fit into this? I saw, I think it was a video you did. I'm sorry, I'm not finding it, a few weeks ago, where Republicans are being conditioned by the media to be afraid of the pro-life issue, which the media loves to do because it aids the left and it aids the pro-abortion side. How are you seeing that issue playing out? Again, to me, it's a family issue. You know, late Phyllis Schlafly, my old boss, you know, her organization, the Eagle Forum, when she talked about it, we would say it's pro-family, but one of her number one planks of pro-family was pro-life.
So here's the thing. We are in a precarious situation as part of the right to life movement. And we are in a situation where we could end up in a worse environment and worse situation than what we had under Roe. And what I mean by that is Republicans right now are flirting with the idea of giving up on protecting babies at the national level. And here's why that's a disaster. One, Democrats will continue to brand the Republican Party as extreme on abortion. They will continue to run campaign ads. They ran $500 million, $500 million in campaign ads in the 22 cycle, right, saying that Republicans wanted to put women in jail and wanted them to die instead of getting abortions. So we can't change that. They're always going to attack us. If Republicans give up, what will happen is Democrats will continue to build and organize and engage at the federal level, and they will end up passing what's known as the Freedom of Choice Act. And they will make government funding of abortions mandatory, and they will end up repealing all of the protections that we've worked so hard at the local level to pass. And I understand that the Republicans are afraid of this issue. They think it's a losing issue. I can assure you we've done extensive polling on this. As long as there are exceptions for the life of the mother, rape and incest, we kick the crud out of the Democrats' position on unrestricted access of abortion for any moment, at any time, any reason. A heartbeat bill, right, with exceptions. It pulls 61% for the Republican who supports that to 23% to the Democrat who supports unrestricted access to abortion. We just have to fight on this issue. If we just fight on the issue, we will win it.
We're talking again with Terry Schilling and his organization. I will put up on social media. One of the things I mentioned is the Big Family Initiative that they've done, pushing to the center of the conversation about families, American Principles Project, where he's the president. I did find it. It was a video, and you've got it pinned on your Twitter feed at the moment I'm looking at it, at Schilling 1776 Twitter feed. I think you're right. I also think, you know, while we say, oh, let's not do anything at the federal level, it's a state fight, there's a lot of ways abortion is impacted at the federal level. The FDA on the abortion pill, the funding question still on Planned Parenthood, there's still way too much money flowing through. Lots of examples, lots of things, Education Department and others. But I agree with you. We've got to be smarter about the fight. And frankly, we have to stop listening to the media tell us how it's a bad issue for conservatives to talk about. You mentioned Randy Weingarten. Again, back to enemies of the family. Our public school teachers unions during COVID, I think they showed their true colors. Now she's out sort of spinning that she was something that different than what she was. A lot of your members, a lot of folks that are involved with you, homeschoolers, but also conservatives in the schools where they are. How has that shift happened on education and education freedom? Are you seeing it in your efforts?
Yes. There's a huge parental rights movement that's growing across this country. They need a vehicle, though. They right. need champions in the public arena. And the Republican Party didn't do a good enough job around these education issues and these family and parental rights issues in the 22 midterm cycle. Republicans don't like talking about sensitive issues. They'd rather talk about general issues like inflation, even though they don't have a plan to curb inflation, besides cutting entitlements, which is a whole other thing that we don't, you know, that puts us in a precarious situation. And then, you know, they want to talk about crime. We have to champion the family. If we just there's a Glenn Youngkin model here for turning a blue state red. And I don't know why Republicans aren't taking a cue from that and making this the premier issue in all of their campaigns and elections.
You know, Terry, I know you pretty well over the years. I mean, I know your family and all, and I think you and I both are on that sort of part of the spectrum of conservatives where, you know, like when we see somebody that messes up, it's not the end of the world, right? I mean, we're all sinners and all broken and all that. What one of the characteristics, though, is when people target kids. I mean, yeah. You kind of go, okay, I wish I was the Good Samaritan all the time. Maybe I'm not enough. Like maybe I'm not living up to that. But there's something in us, not just as fathers or men and women, adults. You're looking after kids. Terry, did you ever think that you'd be in this arena and we'd be talking about people that are protecting pedophiles? I mean, it's like out of again, we go back in time and you and I could, let's say it was 20 years ago. We'd say, oh, well, here's a fantasy story. Let's have 20 years from now, they're going to have people fighting to protect pedophiles like is happening, for example, in Minnesota, in the state legislature. I mean, it's mind boggling.
No, it is. I never, you know, obviously, Ed, I never thought I'd see this day. Not only have we been allowing children to be put through and have sex change procedures committed against them, we're now having legislators. There's one in Minnesota right now that is removing exceptions for pedophilia. So, but right now, the Minnesota civil rights law protects sexual orientation and discrimination against that. There's an exception, though, with pedophilia. They don't count it as that. This legislator there, Lee Fink, who's a transgender male who identifies as a woman, wants to remove that exception for pedophilia. He wants it included in their protection so where you can't discriminate against. Imagine if you couldn't discriminate and exclude pedophiles. That means pedophiles will be able to be hired in schools, just to put that bluntly.
Yeah. I mean, that's my point, Terry. It's kind of like it's sped past us so fast. We're not having a conversation about people in our community that feel and think differently than we do and want the freedom to do it. And at a certain point, a lot of us, I'm not a libertarian at all. A lot of us are like, yeah, I don't really want to criminalize all the behavior around me that is really debauched and sinful. On the other hand, we're talking about kids and we're talking about, you know, kids being preyed upon. I mean, it's not a talking point to say there's groomers in the world. That's a known thing, just like there's salesmen in the world. And the groomers, we have to ban selling stuff that I don't like, that I don't want to buy, but you're a good salesman. That's one thing. Grooming children, it's got to be a line that we have to not allow to be crossed. Anyway, back for one second. I don't want to dwell on that too much. It just got me going. AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. We're talking with Terry Schilling, president. Terry, tell me about the fight with Disney briefly. I mean, more importantly than anything, it's gotten so messy. It feels like when you try to explain it to people, it's like, well, Disney had a sweetheart deal and they did build a lot of stuff, but then they, at the last minute after they were reined in, they did something that was really sort of sneaky. Where are we with this thing?
Well, it's in the courts now, right? And essentially what we've seen play out is Walt Disney Corporation has had a bunch of sweetheart gigs and loopholes put in the law and special privileges and advantages that were extended to them and not anyone else in Florida. And they started running their mouth. They started getting engaged and involved in criticizing DeSantis's agenda. And really, it's not DeSantis's agenda, right? Because this is being passed through their state legislature.
Right.
It's really the will of the people. That's how we do things here. So they started running their mouth and DeSantis and the legislature said, oh, well, then we're going to repeal all the special deals that we've been giving you. Like, right. If you're going to attack us, then we're just not going to extend to you all the special sweetheart deals we've been giving you. And Disney's now fighting that in the courts and we'll have to see how this plays out. But, you know, to me, I think we need to start really fighting back, across all, the entire corporate spectrum, right? It shouldn't just be Disney. These corporations have gone fully woke. They have been captured by the enemies of America, and we should be getting rid of all of the special privileges and exemptions that we've been giving them for so long.
Terry Schilling, president over at American Principles Project. Be encouraged, Terry. Thank you for being out there and being willing to fight. I think it's in your blood. It's a genetic in the Schilling family. So, appreciate it. And there's a lot over on the website. I'll put that up there. And again, you can follow Terry at Schilling1776. He's a good active follow on Twitter. So thanks, Terry. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ed.
All right. We'll take a break, everybody, and I'll be right back. I'll retweet a couple of those tweets I mentioned of Terry's, and also the website for the American Principles Project, AmericanPrinciplesProject.org. Take a break, and we'll be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Time to check in. This story bounced around a few weeks ago. The question of what the government was, how they were targeting Catholics, and that there was a plan. There's been a memo that was leaked, and there was other things, but the story seemed to die away. Well, we're going to catch up with Erica Ahern. Erica Ahern is a staff writer for Catholic Vote and The Loop. She is going to fill us in on what's going on. There's been a FOIA request and some other things. First of all, welcome, Erica, to the program. I have to tell you, the most important thing for you to know is my mother-in-law, who is a wonderful lady, probably 2 years ago said to me, "Are you getting The Loop? You need to get The Loop." And I said, "Well, I work in this area." It was probably longer than ago. I said, I get it every now and then. She said, "You got to get it every day." And she gets it every day, and she'll often forward me stuff to it. So my mother-in-law, Mary Alice, is reading you, Erica, and others. And so thank you for that. So welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Erica, walk us through this story. I mean, the basics of what the public heard was probably a cable news blurb that there was the Richmond field office had this memo. The memo seemed to target Catholic churches. And then, you know, like a lot of things, the story seemed to go away. Where are we with the story? What are you trying to do to get to the bottom of what the facts are here?
Sure. So the story goes back to that January 23rd leak of the FBI Richmond office's memo. And Kyle Serafim, who's a former FBI worker, he came out, he's a whistleblower, he publishes this, and it seems to indicate that the FBI has, at least in this local office, has agents who are being instructed to infiltrate Catholic churches, particularly the traditional Latin Mass church. So it seemed like a very local thing. And then we see on March 1st, we get Merrick Garland testifying under oath, disavowing this memo as it's appalling. It was instigated by a low-level rogue agent. But just 2 weeks ago, Congressman Jordan, who heads up that Senate Judiciary Committee that received Garland's testimony, Congressman Jordan's subpoena actually unearthed this new memo that confirms the Richmond office targeting traditional Latin Mass Catholics was actually approved by senior intelligence analysts and distributed to field offices across the country. So following this, we actually, right after Merrick Garland's testimony in early March, we issued a FOIA request, so Freedom of Information Act. We just requested the documents surrounding the Richmond office, what happened. We wanted all of the emails, the texts, everything related to this to just get to the bottom of this. Right. And this is our right as American citizens. The FBI does work for the American people. We simply ask for
That's what you think,
that's
Erica.
That's what we think anyway. On the paper anyway. Right. It works for us. So we asked for this. It's been radio silence. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. We have heard nothing from either the FBI or the DOJ. We gave them the 20 days, which by law, we gave them an additional 10 days in case there were unusual circumstances. We still heard nothing. And so we have now filed a lawsuit demanding transparency from Biden's, frankly, corrupt and weaponized government agencies here, because we're determined to uncover just how high up this anti-Catholic bigotry goes.
So, when you say there's been, I hate to say this, but when there's no response from you, to you, that's, you hope it's different than the response, Jim Jordan. And by the way, let me mention, I'll put up on social media, uncoverdc.com has a great piece on this. Tracy Beans, our old friend, from over there. I think Kyle Serafin wrote, this piece, and I'll put it up. It's from a few months ago on what the deal was. It's one of the facts. I just want to mention Uncover DC, who I appreciate so much. But so did Jim Jordan get stymied too? I mean, sometimes it's a sitting House member who's got some authority that's going to change the equation. And where are we? And you've now had to sue, right? You've had to go in and say, okay, we didn't get it in time, we're suing. What's again, first part, where's Jim Jordan on this?
Well, yeah, so two threads here. Jim Jordan had requested all of the documents surrounding that Richmond FBI memo. He requested that back prior to Merrick Garland's testimony. He had nothing coming in at him except these. He got finally at the beginning of April, this highly redacted set of emails and some memos. But again, everything's blacked out. You can't see the details. But it was enough to confirm that in fact, Merrick Garland's testimony was wrong. And I'm not going to say he was lying under testimony, but either he was lying to us or he is incompetent and does not know what is going on at his senior levels. Mm-hmm. Because what Jim Jordan uncovered in that highly redacted, finally the FBI gives us their, the goods, you can tell that in fact, that Richmond office memo targeting traditional Latin mass Catholics not only was approved at high senior levels, but also it was sent out to field offices all over the country. And it was expanded, not just Latin mass Catholics, but what they termed mainstream Catholic churches and diocesan leadership. So it uncovered a lot. Nevertheless, Jim Jordan said, this is ridiculous. And he ended up subpoenaing the FBI, which is essentially you have to go in there now and give us everything you've got on this. There is no more voluntary sharing of information across government agencies. This is now a subpoena. And by law, they have to give everything they have to Jim Jordan's subcommittee. From our end of things, second thread, we actually went in and filed a lawsuit as a 501c4.
Right.
And so we are now bringing this to court. So we will be seeing the FBI in court. They did not give us what we deserve under law, which is our FOIA request. And now we're taking them to court.
You know, we're talking with Erica Ahern again, and she is, I mentioned, is a staff writer for Catholic Vote and also writes at The Loop. There's a couple different organizations she's mentioning we're reporting on because the group that entered in Catholic Vote Civic Actions, a different group with Judicial Watch, related, overlapping, but as you mentioned, a C4, I want to be careful to say that. It's kind of interesting. If you haven't ever seen it, and I'll put up on social media, the complaint that Erica's referring to is very short. It's eight pages. It says basically we did what we're supposed to under FOIA. That's a federal law. And they didn't give us anything. There's not really a fight yet because they didn't give you some of it. And you know, there's more. They gave you nothing, right? They gave you the brush off. Yeah. So
it was radio silence.
Yeah.
Not a thing.
What is the any Democrats come on board? I know it's not a partisan issue. I know we're not. I mean, automatically at the local level, I think there probably are. But anybody willing to say, hey, wait a second, this is beyond what we expect from the government in the Democrat Party?
Right. Unfortunately, no, we have not had any support from our Democratic representatives. And I would encourage everyone to go back and watch the clips from the Merrick Garland hearing. I think it was very telling just how partisan this fight has become. And to be honest, the FBI and DOJ are right now controlled by the Biden administration, which is a Democratic administration. And I know of no Democrats, except perhaps Joe Manchin from West Virginia on certain issues, certainly not on all issues, being willing to challenge the Democratic narrative, the status quo of that party. And unfortunately, the agenda of the Democratic Party right now is pretty clearly to target Catholics. This is discrimination against Catholics. It's weaponization of the FBI, not only in terms of infiltrating our Catholic worship communities, our churches, but also really throwing the book at Catholic pro-life activists. We think, of course, of the pro-life dad, Mark Houck, who was arrested by the FBI at gunpoint in front of his seven children and his wife last fall. He was later exonerated in court. But I think that case really encapsulates for us the dynamic that's going on here in the Democratic Party. They are willing at the highest levels to use the American government against its own citizens, in this case, faithful Catholics.
So in the reporting from Uncover DC, and I'm not sure, I know in your press release, there was a link to this. So it's where I was reminded of it. So, but if I get into the weeds a little bit, you can sort of kick for touch, as I say.
I'll tease them out for you.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's one thing I noticed. There is a term in the memo, the original memo, and the term is used by the FBI. And it's called radical-traditionalist Catholics. So radical traditionalist Catholics or RTCs. Now, my question for you is, Have we got any progress? Have we had any progress in finding out who gets to call you an RTC? Who gets to define that? Who, you know, who's, is this a Southern Poverty Law Center generated thing? Is there some path? I know the Southern Poverty Law has been referenced, but is that something that they've coined that's being used now by the FBI?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the Southern Poverty Law Center. So for your listeners who aren't familiar with it, this is a extremist leftist activist group, really. And they are the primary source for this FBI memo out of Richmond in terms of how they're going to define radical traditional Catholicism hate groups. So Appendix D on this memo, which I think you're referring to, it's actually just a direct copy right off the SPLC list of, quote, radical traditional Catholicism hate groups. And they include, religious orders. It includes SSPX, which is a semi-schismatic Catholic group. And it's the Democrats, the FBI, allowing this SPLC to set the narrative and to start to define people of faith, to start to define Catholics as hateful, just based on where they go to Mass and what language they prefer to pray in this case, Latin. But again, what Jim Jordan uncovered, the redacted materials that were given to him subsequent to Merrick Garland's testimony, that indicates that this is actually expanded beyond the SPLC's more narrow definition of RTCs to include, again, Catholics in mainline Catholic churches. And, you know, you hear that term mainline Catholic churches, and I feel like I'm back in the 80s and like the the huge Protestant denominations. I'm like, who coined that? But that's what they want to call us. And unfortunately, we're not allowed to define ourselves. Everyone's very into defining their own identity. But apparently, according to the FBI and DOJ, we're not allowed to do that. They're going to define us for ourselves.
Well, and you talk about it again, if you talk about weaponization, I mean, that's one of the committees that Jim Jordan's got, weaponization. Mm-hmm. You know, you pause and you say, hold on a second. And by the way, let me remind everyone, we're talking to Erica Ahern, staff writer over at Catholic Vote, as well as The Loop. And I'll put up on social media links to that. But, you know, it looks like a private group. You know, this is a private, unaccountable, not taxpayer oversighted. That's the wrong word, but overseen group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, is managing the agenda for federal law enforcement. I mean, you know, this is, and on one level you say, well, that's not fair, because Southern Poverty Law Center, in my estimation, I'm sure yours too, has a track record of being very left-leaning, liberal. They're a political actor, whether it's a small p or a big p partisan. But even more troubling is the lack of accountability. You know, if the FBI is calling us a name, there's a way, people, a name, and creating RTCs and limiting someone's freedom, possibly limiting someone's, taking away someone's freedom to be free of being surveilled for no probable cause or whatever, come up with some way to talk about that. You know, that's really part of me says, well, that's lazy. It's wrong and problematic. It's also a good way, if you're nasty and evil, to outsource the tough work and give yourself some distance from it.
Right. I think that that's right. And there's an element here. The SPLC, I think my conjecture is going to be that the Richmond office memo citing the SPLC, it was a convenient way, for them to sort of confirm their institutional bias when the FBI and DOJ clearly have an institutional bias. I mean, this spying on Catholics, it comes after hundreds of violent attacks, right, that have been carried out against pro-life organizations and Catholic churches. We're up over 300 attacks on Catholic churches, and we're talking firebombing, vandalism, spray painting, smashing tabernacles and altars. These attacks have been virtually ignored by the FBI. And meanwhile, on the other hand, they've been using the FACE Act as a weapon against pro-life advocates. I've already mentioned Mark Houck, but there have been 26 in 2022 alone, there were 26 indictments against pro-lifers using the FACE Act. So I think that the SPLC, it is a convenient way to confirm your own bias that is already infiltrated and inhabits the DOJ, which, and like the SPLC, the FBI and DOJ, they're government bureaucracy. We don't right. elect Merrick Garland.
Right.
The leadership there is the direct result of who we elect as president and who he puts in his cabinet.
Exactly.
And people need to realize this is a great example, a terrible example of elections have consequences.
Well, and the last thing, Erica, we're out of time. The other part of this, though, is if this is the one we found, how many others are there? I mean, is the Southern Poverty Law Center basically driving the agenda for the FBI's decisions on who's anti-government? That's another big phrase, anti-government. Yeah. You're anti-government. Well, who tells you? Like, I think the people that disrupted Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation from Code Pink, I think they were Code Pink, they seemed anti-government, but I don't get to decide, right? So, and who decides, as you point out, when it's an unaccountable, it's one thing if it's an unaccountable bureaucrat. It's another if it's an unaccountable non-government entity that you can never get to say, how'd you get to that point? So it's very troubling. I'm grateful that you guys, Eric Ahern again is with us. Thank you for getting this FOIA request and fighting through that. And we'll be interested to see how it all turns out.
Thanks so much for having me, Ed.
All right. Eric Ahern, everybody, staff writer for Catholic Vote and The Loop. I'll put it up on social media. And there's a lot. Also, this Uncovered DC article is very strong for explaining some of these details and has the original source document. So you can see that, too. So I will put that up also. All right. We'll take a break and we will be right back. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast launched by Phyllis Schlafly, who served as an articulate voice for traditional values for more than 70 years. Upholding that legacy and himself an author, national speaker, and attorney, here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
In winning a landslide victory in the straw poll at the CPAC conference recently, Donald Trump amassed nearly three times as many votes as the distant runner-up Ron DeSantis. This was Trump's record-setting sixth victory in that poll. This doubles the career victories of even President Ronald Reagan in the same poll, and it far exceeds the four victories by the last GOP presidential nominee prior to Trump, Mitt Romney. Trump's speech at the well-known conservative confab was reminiscent of the Declaration of Independence, enlisting the grievances of the American people against the globalists who have run our country into the ground. Even the New York Times appeared to agree with Trump in warning against further entanglement by the United States in the NATO war in Ukraine. Steve Bannon quipped about the rivals to Trump, "We don't have time for on-the-job training." Trump's rivals look like the seven dwarfs compared with Trump, and just imagine how much he can accomplish in a second term without anti-Trumpers like Paul Ryan, Pat Toomey, and others on Capitol Hill. Like General Douglas MacArthur vowing to return and then doing so to liberate the Philippines during World War II, Donald Trump has vowed to return to the White House to finish the job he started. However, outside of the presidential election itself, very few people pay any attention to the primaries, even though that's where the action really is. After all, no one makes you take a test to prove you're a conservative before accepting your filing for candidacy for a particular party. Instead, it's up to the grassroots to thoroughly vet our candidates long before we ever get to the general election season. If you're looking for the right place to get involved in the election process, start with the primaries. Pick a candidate who aligns with your values and exercise your right to make your voice heard. If the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly has taught us one thing, it's that success for the conservative movement starts at the grassroots, comes to fruition in the primaries, and is harvested in general elections and the policies that follow. Don't miss your chance to be a part of history.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. Our mission, clearly stated at phyllisschlafly.com, is to enable and mobilize grassroots activism on behalf of cherished conservative values. You're encouraged today to go online and read the goals we support and those we oppose. Then join us. That's phyllisschlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and come back next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Excuse me, wrapping things up, I got a text from one of you all, and the person that texted me said, you haven't given out the texting number in a while. And I joked back and said, you already got it. You got it anyway. But here's, let me tell you, ways to get in touch with me. If you'd like to get in touch with me, I'll take suggestions on topics, guests, your thoughts, disagreements. There's three ways to get in touch with me. You can text me 314-256-1776, 314-256-1776. You can send me an email, ed@phyllisschlafly.com, ed@phyllisschlafly.com. Or you can go on Twitter at Eagle Ed Martin and direct message me there at Eagle Ed Martin on Twitter. 314-256-1776. Text ed@phyllisschlafly.com, email, or go to at Eagle Ed Martin on Twitter and direct message me. Thank you to Noah Dingley, our great producer, Ryan Height, associate producer. Thank you all for listening. Talk to you tomorrow. It's Ed Martin on the Pro America Report.
This is the Pro America Report on The Answer San Diego.